first service, we will be singing much of the liturgy as John would have sung over decades and decades here at Our Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. A huge multitude that no one could count stood before the throne and before the Lamb,
clothed in white robes, with palms in their hands.
And they shouted aloud,
"Salvation belongs to our God, upon the throne, and to the Lamb."
Oh, rejoice in the Lord, you righteous.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts.
Thank you. Jesus, you were dead, now you are alive forever. Strengthen us who must die soon, so that we turn from our sins and follow you through this world, and then follow on through death into life everlasting. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 25th chapter. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in our salvation." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is my shepherd,
and I shall not want.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul.
He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 8th chapter. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, "For your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia, Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead.
To him be glory and power forever. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter.
Glory be to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe in you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
God has made us his people through our baptism into Christ. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Thank you.
Rebecca, Degory, Logan, Troy, Tiffany, family and friends of John, the peace and comfort of God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead be yours now and always. Amen. You may be seated. I may not need to say it, but sometimes we simply need to state the obvious. And the obvious thing is that death is relentless. Death is relentless. No matter how many times you've watched others go through it, it always packs a punch. Even when our loved one is so sick that death means their suffering is finally over, it's still really, really hard. And even when the dying one gets to say their goodbyes and I love yous before they go, as John was given a couple of days to do before he died, we still miss them. We're never really ready. It shouldn't be like this. Right down to the very core of our being, we know it and we feel it. It shouldn't be like this. But it is like this. The wages of sin is death. It needs to be said. Does any other explanation really make sense? Can anything else reconcile that relentless onslaught of death, whose body count increases year by year, and the older we get, the more we see it? Can anything else reconcile that with our own sense that this shouldn't be? God makes the reason clear. Sin, Adam's sin, and Eve's sin, and your sin, and my sin, and yes, John's sin. The consequences of our sin, the way it works itself out in this fallen world, is death. And we have no way of stopping it. Rebecca, you shared with me a story of your earliest encounter with death. I don't know if I have all the details right, but you said that I think you were around 6 years old, and you saw a memorial stone for a little boy who had died tragically, and it shocked you. And you asked your dad about it, and he said that when that happens, you go to heaven. And then, so that you wouldn't be scared at night, he taught you the little bedtime prayer of trust that he probably learned from his parents when he was a child. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Little prayer of childlike trust. And in some ways, it seems to me as pastor that that captures John to a T. And I mean this in the best sense of the word, but he was kind of like a big kid in so many ways. He loved his hobbies, his football and sports of all kinds, and model railroads and cars and racing and classic comedy and your oversized burgers, Dee. And he loved animals, their pet dogs and friends' pet dogs. And even in a fallen world, the thing that I can't help but think of with John is the way that he found so many things to delight in, so many passions and joys, not the least of which, of course, was his family and friends, which you made sure was such a constant presence in his life. And underneath that sense of being a big kid, for John was a deep yet childlike faith, and a life of prayer and devotion to Jesus. You want to know why we're singing the things we're singing today? It's because of John. He picked out the hymns, "Holy, Holy, Holy, Just As I Am Without One Plea, What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And he wrote them on a little index card and told Dee where to find them so that he could be singing along with us some of his favorites. And he knew the one to whom he prayed. I pray the Lord my soul to keep.
I pray the Lord my soul to take. For John, this was not some generic prayer to a powerful being out there. This was a prayer to his beloved Lord Jesus, the one that he knew had given his life for him and had risen from the dead for him, the one that he knew came into this world of sin and dying and death because he was the one who could do something about it. The one man who had no sin, God incarnate in our human flesh, who took on death head on so that he could meet it for John and for you and for me. He didn't believe in some generic Jesus Christ. He believed in the Jesus who was true God, made man, suffered, died, rose, ascended into heaven, and is coming again soon. And he died in that confidence, with a childlike faith and trust in that Lord. He believed the words of St. Paul, who says in Philippians, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And John met his last hour knowing that he had nothing to lose, living or dying. Although we certainly feel it as a loss right now. That childlike faith he received as a gift, less than a month old, I believe it was in New York, is that right, Mary Lou? He was brought to the waters of holy baptism by his parents. They knew that death was relentless, and they knew that Jesus had done something about it, and they wanted their little son to have that gift and that victory in Christ. And so they brought him to the water where Jesus had promised to be, and John was baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and his sin was washed away, and he was covered in the robe of Christ's righteousness, which is why his casket today is covered with the white funeral pall. Death is covered by the righteousness of Christ and by his victory. And it was that faith that John was raised in and was taught by his parents and his pastors and in the church. That faith that was confirmed in his life, and that faith that he confessed year after year, Sunday after Sunday, including the Sunday before he died. He was not walking well, and he looked terrible, and he was really, really sick. But this is the place he wanted to be when death was drawing close. This is the place he wanted to be because he knew the promises that Jesus had given. Promises like this, when Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." To that question of what must we do to be saved, so many people turn to themselves and say, "I think I'm good enough." And Jesus says, "You're not good enough." And we want to say, "I think I'll be good enough. I'll just get a little bit better." And Jesus says, "You're never going to be good enough, but I'm good enough for you. I'm good enough to save you." And he made that promise to John. It's not what you do, John. It's what I have done. Because this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And that's where John was looking. And we made sure of it. In those last days, how many different scripture passages did John hear? How many times did we pray with him and commend him to God? One of our members who was there at the bedside said afterwards, "Pastor, I think you were running out of scriptures to read." And I said, "I was running a little shy, but the Bible wasn't. There were plenty of them there." So that John went home to Christ with the words of Christ in his ears and the promise of Christ's victory in his heart. He knew where he was going, and if he ever doubted for a moment, we told him again. Even the faith that John had was a gift of Christ. It was not John's own doing, but it was worked in him by the Holy Spirit through that gift of baptism and through the scriptures that he read, heard read again and again and again. And John would desire that you believe as well. that you would know this same Savior, Jesus Christ, and have faith in him, that you might go where John has gone, which is where Christ has gone, who is the victory over death and the grave. Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who even now is at the right hand of the Father, and who is interceding for us. Christ is praying for you, Dee, and for you, Rebecca and Tiffany, and for all of you family and friends. He is pleading for you with the blood that he shed on the cross, asking for your sins to be taken away and for his victory over death to be yours as well. And this is why we gather today, not simply to mourn. We do. There are tears. Our hearts are heavy. But we also gather to proclaim the victory. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? St. Paul asks. You want to name anyone or anything that can separate you from his love? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, he says. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Death does not get the last word. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Death cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ, because Christ went into death and overcame it for us. And so the victory has already been won, but we are still waiting for the final outworking of that victory. Isaiah gives us the promise. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away every tear from all faces, every single tear. Whatever tears you've shed, whatever tears you shed in the day to come, the time is close when the cause of all crying will be gone. And on that day we will say, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. John died in this confidence. Confidence captured by the words of Psalm 73, verse 26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. John's heart did fail. The doctors kept it going for a long time. And even toward the end, there were still a few moments in that last week where we thought maybe the Lord was going to give him more time. And the doctors thought maybe they had something that would help sustain his heart. But they couldn't. But Christ could. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And where the medicine of this life failed, the medicine of immortality, the body and blood of Jesus Christ that John received again and again and again throughout his life, that is the medicine of never dying. And it was given to him. And so we have this confidence that John's soul already is with Christ, and this body will be raised again on the last day. And we're going to go plant it in a few minutes in a cemetery, which is simply a sleeping place, so that when Christ comes again, that body will rise from the dead without a heart that fails, new and glorious and forever. That's why John could teach his children to pray, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." And the body too will rise from the dead. "For this is the will of my Father," Jesus said, "that everyone who looks on the Son," that is an invitation to you, Everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up, body and soul reunited, on the last day. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. This life will end, but the life that comes with Christ will never end. In his name, amen. And now the peace that passes all understanding guards your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
From the dead. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace. Lord, in your mercy, grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and so pass with him through the gate of death and the grave to our joyful resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, grant that all who have been nourished by the holy body and blood of your Son may be raised to immortality and incorruption, to be seated with him at your heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy, give to John's family and friends, and to all who mourn, comfort in their grief and a sure confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love. Lord, in your mercy, give courage and faith to the bereaved, that within the communion of your church,
they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the assurance of a holy and certain hope and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love who have departed in the faith. Lord, in your mercy, help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. O God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Dear Lord Jesus, hear your disciples as we pray, for we long to leave and be with you, which is far better. When we are with you, we need nothing else on earth, but we are always with you. You lead us by the hand, you guide us with your counsel, and afterward you will take us into glory. In your presence is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. How beautiful is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! Our souls long, they ache for the courts of the living God. We shall be satisfied when we awake to see your face. Until then, as you have taught us, we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die.
Amen.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
Let us pray. Blessed Lord Jesus, God and Savior, we thank you for every earthly gift you gave to John in this world, from life itself to the love of those who are gathered here now, and for every gift, earthly and heavenly, that you gave to us through him.
But above all, we thank you that you loved him and carried his sins in your own body on the cross, and that you rose from your grave to find him, and through your church held out to him your wounded hands, and through your word and sacraments gave him forgiveness of all his sins and eternal life. O Christ, judge and master of us all, grant that all of us who loved him here may now look to your love, that we may grasp your hands scarred for us, and believe and receive your forgiveness. Give each of us grace to follow you in this life, that each of us may also leave this life with you and enter the paradise prepared for those who love you. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Soon, and if not soon, now.